So he is now wondering what that's going to be. Amen. Good stuff. We're in Luke chapter 7 tonight. We had a good time and went over to Mount Rushmore. Now, how many have never been to Mount Rushmore? I'm just curious. Yeah. Because I know when people live in the area, my uncle, we're from San Diego, California. He lived in Ramona. And I remember several years back, I took him on a harbor cruise. And I mean, the guy's lived there for like 70 years. And I'm like, you've never been on a harbor cruise? He goes, nope. And I'm like, get in the boat. Let's go. You know, a little bitty cruise. But it's sometimes when you live in the area, you know, you don't always do it. You're just like, ah, it's over there, you know, so forth. So we enjoyed it. That was on my wife's bucket list. Mount Rushmore, mine as well. So we appreciate the pastor and his family taking the time to do that and more or less putting up with us in the car. You know, so they were stuck with us all day. And we appreciate their hospitality and all that kind of fun stuff. And so it was cool. We got a beautiful day. Thank you for the nice day. I appreciate it. That was very nice of you all. And so beautiful weather here today. I don't think we could have picked a more perfect day to go, to tell you the truth. You know, not too hot, not too cold. So really, really good. But we made it back in time. Praise the Lord. And looking forward, we're going to be in Luke chapter 7 tonight. And I value your time. Appreciate you being here. I know your pastor does. Revival is about spiritual growth and continuing to grow in our walk with the Lord. And so it's a little bit extra time. And as already said, I know you work on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and so it's a challenge. It's a sacrifice. It really is. But you're rushing, getting home, and some people don't have time to eat, and you're waiting till afterwards to eat, and you're rushing to get here, and I appreciate you doing that. And I believe God honors that. I'll be honest with you. I believe God will honor that, and you'll be able to get something out of the message, not because I'm preaching, but because it's the Word of God. And whenever the Word of God's open, you can always get something. You can always get something from it if our hearts are open and ready to receive it. And so tonight, you know, really what the Lord laid upon my heart tonight is something very important. I believe that, I know growing up, we always wanted to please mom and dad. It's just a natural thing. And I've seen that every child, and I realize that that can be gone at a certain point in time because of families and different things like that. But there's a desire. I've seen where people, if you're here and you've been adopted, you know that. There's people that grow up without a mom and dad, and they'll try to find that parent that maybe gave them up for adoption and things like that. And there's just this, I mean, never met them, but there's this desire to know who they were, and not just that, to please them. You know, we had a young lady in our church. She was living with her grandparents because mom was a drug addict, you know, and she lived under bridges and stuff. Seriously. And but she was just majorly addicted, grew up 16, 17 years old, almost 18. And I'll never forget, she got into some trouble, and the trouble all stemmed from she wanted to run away and live with her mom because she wanted to just know her mom and please her mom. And it's like, and her mom, like I said, is a drug addict, you know, living under there, and you're thinking, there's no logic to this. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at this going, this doesn't make any sense, except that we love our parents. It's designed that way. And unless they do something to break that, which is really hard because look at that situation, we just want to please them. When I think about that, and I take it a step further, I can't think of anybody else I'd rather please than Almighty God. When you think of what Jesus Christ did for us, let's just be honest, we want to please him. There is a desire of every Christian, whether you're doing it or not, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves us to please God. And here's what I like about this. It is hard sometimes to please people. Are you aware of that? I mean, some of you, you got attitudes, you know, and I don't care what, I mean, your wife can make you the best pie. You're like, yeah, it's okay, you know, and your husband can bring you, you know, flowers home and chocolates. You're like, they're not my favorite. It's not even the chocolates I like, you know. They can do everything they can to please you and maybe not be able to do it, you know. Trust me, I'm married to my wife. I love her. She's wonderful. I'm not just saying that. She is, but I remember early on, I'd buy her flowers and chocolates, and she's like, why are you buying me flowers? And I'm like, well, because I love you, and women like flowers. She goes, they die. Why are you buying chocolates? Trying to make me fat? Well, No. So I quit buying her chocolates and flowers. It's that simple. I don't know, about 5 years ago, she goes, how come you never buy me flowers? Do you go to sleep or something? What do you mean? You told me not to. She goes, now I want them. And I realized, like, I'm not going to win this battle, okay? So I buy flowers every once in a while now. But it's like, you know, you try to please somebody, and it's like, it doesn't always work. But aren't you glad you can please God? Hebrews 11:6, he says this, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. But we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you ready? Here's the number one thing that God wants out of you. Are you ready? Faith. Now, I want you to stop thinking about faith. God wants, you want to please God, you grow in your faith. Hey, we get saved by faith. Is that not right? By faith and God's grace, we get saved. And I repented of my sins, and by faith, I trusted in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Easter's coming, amen? I mean, I put my faith, that began my journey. And now he tells me, if I want to make God happy, I want to please him, he says, this is what you do. If you operate in any form of faith, are you ready? That pleases me. That's exciting to me. You know why? I know that my God, who never lies, I can please him. And I kind of imagine just put a smile on his face. I don't know if I ever really do, but you know what I'm saying? But just an analogy, I know I can make him happy because he said, if you operate by faith, okay? In other words, you see, you read, you hear what's here, and you do that, I am pleased. I'm like, wow, man, I can attain that. I know what the goal is. I know what I can do. And then I read in scripture of stuff like this, like the disciples. You know, often he said this to them, oh, ye of little faith. You know why he said that? Because later Paul wrote, because God is pleased by faith. I mean, you can give, you can serve, you can do all kinds of things, but here's what God wants. He wants to know what your level of faith is. And in this story, it talks about faith. And I'd like us to look at that tonight, if you don't mind. Why don't we stand? We'll do our reading tonight. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. This kind of dovetails even into the last message about faith, and we're going to take another step in that direction here. The Bible says in verse 1, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, or Capernaum. Remember, we said you could go either way. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Now remember, we talked about that God honored the faith of the four. Remember that? Well, now he's getting ready to honor the faith of the centurion. So in other words, the sick isn't asking for help. But again, another illustration there. He's asking for help. And by faith reaching out, God says, I'm going to honor that faith. Look what he says. Verse 4, and when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. In other words, he says, hey, this guy's the real deal, and he's invested, he's committed. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say it a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. I say unto one, go, he goeth. To another, come, he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these sayings, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him. Now look at this. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Lord, we come to you now, Lord. We thank you for stories you put in like this that let us know, Lord, how you think, how you feel, what pleases you. And now, Lord, as we glean from this very classic, true story, Lord, I pray that it would help us to grow our faith. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I think we should always be growing our faith. I am a firm believer in that. We get saved by faith. We grow in faith. But I love this story from this aspect. When you get to verse 9, and you see in red in my Bible, I say unto you, I've not found so great faith. I don't know about you, but as a preacher, there's certain phrases that catch your attention. So when I see the disciples get, oh, ye little faith, then I see a Roman centurion, not a Jew, not a Greek, a Roman centurion who understands law and authority and all this kind of stuff. And this guy here, Jesus stopped. And now think about this. He stops and says, this guy has the greatest faith I've seen in all of Israel. Can you stop with me and go, whoa. I mean, I expect that out of a Jew. They grew up worshiping Jehovah God and following God. It's a Roman centurion. He's a proselyte. And although he's a good guy, he wouldn't have the same training and teaching as all the other people. And yet, Jesus, he literally stopped Jesus in his track. And he's impressed. He says, now this is great faith. When I read that, I remember for the first time, I thought this, you know what? I would love to be a man of great faith. I would love to be a man of great faith. Why? Number one, it pleases God. It pleases our God. And I'm like, how do we get there? And I believe in this story, and I don't believe any stories in the Bible by accident. Thousands, millions of stories, and God chose these. Why? They're very purposeful, intentional. God put them in there. He says, I've got something for you. So I think as we look at this story, we see the very obvious point here. We see that Roman centurion, again, Jesus is in Capernaum. He's been there multiple times. We see that as a theme right now. He keeps coming into this region. He's done many healings. People have heard it. And so here we have this Roman centurion who is a proselyte. I mean, come on, he built for them, you know, a synagogue. Let me just help you. We're building an educational building at our church, and it's a tad bit expensive. You know, so in our money days today, it's going to be about $2.4 million. And if someone were to walk up and say, Pastor Waterloo, man, I'm so excited about what God's doing. I'd like to pay for that building. I would give them a hug. You say, that's all they get? Okay, I'll take them out to eat too. I mean, I would love that. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, are you kidding me? I mean, who walks up with a check and goes, I'd like to pay for that? Now, we've built multiple buildings. I've never had that happen. But can I tell you, that'd be an exciting day. Exciting day. I mean, this guy bought and built a church. Okay, now I get, you say it didn't cost $2.4 million. Well, yeah, but you have to go back into what their money was back then to our money today. And I just want you to see, this wasn't like a cheap little thing. This was very costly. So we know this man's got some money. He's a rich man. He's got influence. He's a powerful man. He's over all these soldiers and everything. He's a leader of men. This is somebody. And I look at this guy, and yet he's got faith. And I began to delve into this to find, how do we get this great faith? And as the story unfolds, the Bible says here, take a look at it. In verse 3, and when he heard of Jesus. Now again, he's probably heard of Jesus from the other revivals, the other, we call them revivals, but the other meetings that he's had and the teachings that he's had, people have been healed. But now he's heard that he's back in Capernaum. And when the news came to him from whatever realm it would come and said, hey, Jesus is in town, he immediately thought of his servant. May I go back to yesterday's story real quick? Won't you do everything you can do to heal somebody you love? So the Fab Four, that family, they probably tried everything. And now we're going to take him to Jesus. I'm going to apply the same thing. This guy's got money. They've already called the doctors. Okay? They've already had people come in. And whatever the scenarios are like, we can't do anything. But this is a treasured servant who must be a friend to this guy. And he cares so much. And think about it. He cares so much. He's like, man, I just want them healed. And then he says, well, I heard Jesus is here. And I know that he's a healer. You guys go get him. Now, here's the thing I want you to see. In verse 3, he says, and when he had heard of Jesus. Now, here's why this is wording's important. Are you ready? Heard. Are you ready? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Can I tell you level one of faith? Let me help you real quick. You have to hear the word of God. No. I don't think you understand. You have to hear the word. You know why you have so much preaching? You know, we're kind of crazy, independent Baptists. We were talking about that. We get lots of preaching. You say, why? Because we need it. The Bible says we need it more and more, not less and less. You know, Christianity's developed a kind of a Sunday morning thing now. People go to church, one service, they're done for the week. They must be pretty spiritual. I don't know about you, but I need more than that. I don't know about you, but physical food, I eat more than once a week. I think that's obvious, amen? Watch what you say. But it is. My wife will say, I get hangry if I don't get food, you know? I get that, I need some food. You know, I'll get quiet. I'll just kind of start shutting down. You know, I'm not mad. Okay, just a little bit, okay? But I'm not mad at you. I'm just like, I need some nourishment is what I need. I eat 3 meals a day. I eat breakfast. I eat lunch. I eat dinner. Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand people who miss meals. There's not a day in my life that I've missed lunch. Are you aware of this? On purpose. I've got friends, I'll talk to them, I was so busy, I forgot about lunch. Who are you? I may miss lunch because you're busy, but I didn't forget about lunch. The whole time I'm working, I'm thinking about, man, I'm hungry, I want some lunch. I'd like to stop and get some food right now. I know we're busy, but I want some food. I mean, I don't forget about it, you know what I'm saying? It's not like an accident. I mean, why? Man, we eat 3 times a day. And I get it, we can go several days without eating, we're probably going to be okay. I get all that. But the fact of the matter is we do that for physical nourishment. Can I tell you, we need the word of God. No, I'm helping right now. You need the word of God. I'm gonna help you right now. Before I get to the last point, which is the powerful point, it will mean nothing to you if you don't have this point down. We always wanna cut the corner. You know what I'm saying? We do, and I'm just gonna go with eating again today. You talk to doctors. The best way to lose weight, it's weird. exercise, and eat right. That is so weird. You know? But trust me, in America, I'd rather try anything else. You know, now they got some pills out there, and I'm not going to get into all that, but they're out there. And people take, you may be taking them, so I'm not attacking anybody. But if I knew I could take a pill and there was no side effects and I'd lose weight, I'm in. Why? It's called a shortcut. Remember when they had liposuction? I thought about that. That sounds cool. Eat whatever I want, go in, you suck it out. And I'm like, this is a good day. You know what I mean? I mean, we think like we live that way. If there's a shortcut, I want it. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go the hard way. I don't want to do the hard work way. That's kind of the way that we're developed. The problem is that that goes over into spiritual things. I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to heaven. And I want to be a super Christian. And God blessed me in a great way. And he's like, okay, here's what you do. You got to have faith. I got faith. No, you got to grow in that faith. No, I got a lot of faith. No, I don't think you understand. To have great faith, step number one is you have to hear the word of God. You cannot skip the word of God. Now, right as I'm saying that, I know how this works. People go, I do love the word of God. I own several Bibles. I read the word of God. No, raise a hand. This is called rhetorical. Rhetorical question, which means no response is needed. But if you've been saved any length of time, I want to ask you, have you ever read your Bible through? It would shock you how many Christians have never read their Bible through. I gave this challenge to our church several years back. I had a 70-year-old man, loves the Lord, loves Jesus. He's sitting there going, you know, Rich, I've never read my Bible all the way through. I'll read here and there, but I've never sat down. I gave our church a challenge. I said, why don't you read the Bible through in a year? And I said, and if you do it in 14 months, it's okay. One guy came back and goes, preacher, 18 months, 18 months. Matter of fact, Brother Lonnie, he just got me, 18 months, I just finished. I'm like, at first I'm like, what are you talking about? That challenge was like 5 years ago. You know what I'm saying? You know, he's a little behind, but it was okay. But he was so excited, he goes, I finally did it. I'm like, well, praise Jesus. I kind of kicked in. I'm like, oh, amen, Lonnie, way to go. I was. I'm like, he's like, I don't read a lot and everything, but I'm like, wait, I'm a Christian, and I want to please God, so to please God, I got to grow in faith. And the primary way to grow in faith, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God says, this is how you please me. Get in the book. Get in the book. You'll hear that probably till the day you die. Why? Because we don't get into the word the way that we ought to. Matter of fact, weak faith is because people aren't in the word. I didn't say because you don't love Jesus. You can love Jesus, you can love the church and have weak faith. What, the disciples, oh, ye of little faith. I mean, come on. They walked with Jesus. What's the problem? When you get in the word, it changes the way you think. There's just a supernatural thing about the word of God that begins to fill you. It's amazing. We were so bought into it that when my boys, oh, I don't know, they're probably 16, something like that, maybe a little older, but somewhere in there. I'm getting older now where you forget ages. But in their teen years, I gave them a challenge, and it was this. If you read your Bible through in a year, I'll give you $500. Now, $500 is a lot now, but that was like 20 years ago. Now, right now, parents, I am so sorry, because every teen's going, so I set up a reading plan. I checked it. They had to check it off. You say you're not going to trust them? They're teens. Do you trust your teen? Oh, I do. Then we need to talk. Okay? So we need to talk. So I'm checking it and everything. But I'm like, listen, here's why. Now I'm not promoting that you need to do that. And you're like, I don't think I agree with that. It's neat because I didn't ask you. But anyways, so I'm not promoting it. It's not Bible. You have to do that. But just for us, we sat down. My wife and I talked. We're like, hey. Here we go. We think it's so important. I told him that. We think it's so important that you read the Word of God that I'm willing to give you $500 to read it. That's how valuable. It's even more valuable. That's all I got, though. And I got to save up for a year, so let me know. You know, so we did. They finished it, gave them $500. Use it for whatever you want. I don't care. You say, why? Because I knew this. The only way their faith was going to grow, and I wanted to transfer our faith to them. Are you ready? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When your pastor says, get in the book, read. Man, not just Sundays, not just revival. Like I said, we eat three times a day, come to church, get a couple messages on Sunday, one on Wednesday, and we're like, ooh, I'm going to make it. Well, folks, you need Jesus every day. Because why? He'll grow your faith. It'll grow your faith. Now, I don't want to try to belabor this, but you don't understand. Before I can get to point two and point three, there's only three. This is amazing. 3 points in a poem. You know, before I can get to those, here's the thing. You have to understand that maybe tonight you need to say this, Lord, I love you. and I do love the word, but maybe where I'm at and struggles I have today and my inability to trust you the way that I should, even though I know I should, well, the weakness is most likely I'm not in the word enough. So you may even be in the word, but folks, sometimes you need more than, I'm not dogging this, so don't take this too far. I believe there's a broad span, but you may need more than the daily bread. Again, I'm not against the daily bread. You know, some days you say, I get that. That's good. So don't take this wrong. I'm not trying to chide anybody or attack anybody, but I'm just going to tell you, you want your faith to grow? Here's the thing. Sometimes it just takes more. Sometimes it just takes more. You can say, well, I read a verse every day. Well, praise Jesus. Again, not attack anybody. You might need a verse every day. You might need a chapter every day. Sometimes I may get to 4 or 5 verses and just meditate on them, you know, and get into them, you know, and love them. And sometimes I'm reading 4, 5, 6 chapters. You know, it's just different. But here's what I know. Every day might be a little bit different depending on what you're going through and what you need. But here's what I know. I know where my faith comes from, hearing the word of God. May I challenge you first and foremost. He said he heard that Jesus was there. So he sends, first of all, the elders of the Jews beseeching him in verse 3 that they would heal his servant. And when they come to Jesus, again, they give him a raving review. It's amazing. They're like, man, this guy, he is worthy. This is a great guy. He bought a synagogue for us. And I love this. Now, you can stop there and maybe think this. If you just read that, you're thinking, hey, here's what the elders are saying. You ought to heal this guy because of what he's done. Do you see this? Yeah, he's a good guy. I mean, he's worthy of this. He even bought us a church, okay? This is a solid guy. Read the passage. Jesus doesn't heal the servant because of that. Are you with me? You know, we think sometimes, I'm just going to do more and give more and serve more. You don't understand. Those are all good things. But God wants our faith above everything else. He wants our trust above everything. He wants us to grow in faith. And when we grow in faith, we're going to do those other things. But when they were promoting the outside, God was promoting the inside, saying, when he stopped and said, whoa, wait a minute. That's great faith. And he honors and he heals the servant. Why? Because of his faith, not because of what he did. And he looks at this, and as they're coming, then all of a sudden, verse 6, and Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. And this is powerful, okay? This guy, this is a centurion. This is a leader of men. And here's what gets me. I'm going to be honest. The first time I read this, here's my thought. I'm not going to lie to you. So I read this, and I think, what an uppity guy. You know, in other words, listen, I'm way too busy for you. You know, and really, you're a Jew. You're beneath me. May I remind you, the Jews were servants at this time. So I don't have time for you. My position does not regulate that I should even come to you. You should be coming to me. I mean, really, you can read that. But when you read it, that's not what the wording says. You'd expect that from a Roman centurion. You expect that from somebody with power and leadership. But you know what he says? Here's why I didn't come to you. Are you ready? Here's why I didn't come. Are you ready? I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Wow. No. I'm not worthy to be around you. What? You're a leader among men in the Roman army. You're over the Jews. Jesus would be subservient to you according to the way that things were working. I mean, you're a Jew, and you're treating him with this great respect. And in humility, you say, no, I'm sending my friends. And by the way, don't even come to my house. No, wait a minute. This guy's filthy rich. Can I help you? He's got a nice house. If you can buy a church, you got a nice house. And here's what I know. Most people want, if they got a nice house, they want you to see it. Can we just be honest? No, okay, you guys don't understand. Let me help you. We're like, come to my house. We've been to, I know your pastor's been in Austin, and we've seen some of the most luxurious houses in Austin, Texas. First time we went there to preach, we stayed in this couple's house, and here's how it was. It was a mansion. A mansion. Marble floors. Grand pianos. We walked in. Brent and I are like, we are out of our element. We're walking in, and they're like this. They're like going, oh, come into our house. I'm sorry. It's just, it's not all tidy. I mean, it's like spotless. You know, and it's like one of those, oh, okay, sure. So, I mean, we stay there and everything. Then we stayed at another house. So we're there again, and the pastor puts us up at another. A guy won the lottery, over $80 million. He had built this side house addition that was like 2 times bigger than our house and way more luxurious. He's like, I'm sorry, we got to put you up here. I'm like, oh, sorry. You know, my favorite part though, he goes, I know you like to golf, Pastor Waterloo, that's when I did golf. He goes, I'm gonna take you golfing. So we get ready to go golfing. Again, you know, $80 million, it's luxurious. And the wife comes out and goes, oh, wait, wait. She goes, wait, don't forget the coupons. Really? No offense. Pretty sure you don't need coupons. But they're trying to show us, yeah, we try to live meagerly and everything. I'm like, stop it. Okay, you blew that when I walked through the door. Okay, when I saw the inside and you're walking me through the house and everything, this little coupon thing is not impressing me. I'm not thinking, wow, they're frugal individuals, you know? And I wouldn't walk out going, man, I'm so impressed. I'm like, that's a little pious. Not gonna lie to you. This is just a little showy to me, you know what I'm saying? So when I walk in a house, the people are like, oh, it's just my humble abode. Liar. Okay? No, they're walking around going, Marble, and look at all this, and look at our view. Hallelujah. Which is surprising to me, because if you come to my house, I don't show you anything. You say, why? Because it doesn't matter. No offense. I mean, no, I'm not trying to be mean or anything. But if you, like, I don't like to make my bed. Oh, really? I'm getting back in it that night? What's the big deal? My wife's like, what if somebody comes and sees it? Who's coming into my room? I want you to stop and think about that. Who's coming into my room? What if somebody comes over? They're not allowed in my room. How hard is that? Close the door. Or what if they're snooping? I don't care. You know what I'm saying? It's so funny. You know, we'll do that. It's amazing to me. That's how we think. That's just normal. Yet this guy who's got this fabulous place, I mean, he's got servants. And you know everybody, come on in. Allow me to entertain the prophet. The one everybody likes, come into our house, have a meal. Yeah, the prophet sat in our house. The Messiah is at our house. And he's like, oh, no, 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 no. It's not because we're too good for you. It's like, I am too unworthy of you to walk into my house. I am too unworthy that I could even come up and go before you to make the request. Here's what that's called. Humility. Now, let me tell you the danger. You want to grow in your faith, have great faith? Let me help you. You must be humble. No. I know you've heard that before. It's not like a flash. No. You won't grow in your faith unless you're humble. It's called having a teachable spirit. One of the things that will stunt your growth is when you're in church long enough and you know so much, you're like, I heard that story. I know that. You're even kind of critiquing the preacher. That's a 7 tonight. Yep, let's give him a 5 tonight. You're like, well, I would have said this. I remember one time I was preaching, and I'm real easy going, seriously. Man, that's the only way, but I really am. Man, if you come up and you're talking about the sermon, you say, you may say, hey, preacher, I think maybe this verse could mean this. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's good. That's really good. I mean, I'm not going to say anything. But I'm preaching in a church, and it was in Texas again. Something about Texas. You know what I'm saying? Are you from Texas? Georgia, good man. Okay, good man. That's right. Amen. Amen. All right. That's right. So here you go. You're talking Texas. So I'm down there, and the pastor goes, oh, Pastor, I forgot to tell you. We have a guy. I don't know if he's caught you yet. It's been a couple of nights. He goes, all our speakers, he goes up to him, and he's always correcting them. Now, if he hadn't told me anything, I'm like, folks, I'm going to help you. I don't know everything. I'm still growing and learning. Are you aware of that? I'm still growing and learning. But this guy, it just caught me one of those days. It was the last night of the revival. And he comes up before the sermon, and he's talking about the sermon the last night. He goes, Pastor Waterloo, can I talk to you? I go, sure. I didn't even know his name. But as soon as he started talking, I'm like, it's that guy. I think he had some Bible college training or something. I don't remember. He goes, well, you were talking last night about this passage, and you said that this meant it was the disciples. And I'm thinking, isn't it more the multitude? Now, my normal response would be, you know, it could have been. Night, sure. Not that night. I looked at him and I go, no. 100% not. It's actually the disciples. That's exactly what the word means. If you look at the context there, it means this, this, and this, and this. And if you go over here, you're going to find out that's exactly what it means. That's why I preach it that way. That's what it means. I just looked at him. He went, okay. But I don't normally do that. Seriously, I don't. But here's my frustration. I sense the frustration of the pastor. And here's what the pastor says, and he's embarrassed because he's having to tell me this. He's like, oh, we got a guy. And he didn't say this, but here's what he's saying. We got a prideful, arrogant, unteachable guy who thinks he knows more than any preacher that comes here and takes his time correcting every one of them. Can I help you real quick? You're not going to ever grow with that attitude. You know how you get to great faith? I'm going to help you real quick. You have to be in the book. It's a consistency over and over. And you can never lose your teachability. I believe you grow. But we have every Sunday night, first Sunday of every month. We started years ago. We call it Youth Night. And our youth will preach. And if we've got someone available, we'll bring someone from Heartland, the college there, to teach. And they'll sing and do all that kind of stuff. We're teaching them about ministry. And people are always asking, they'll get nervous, Heartland students especially, because I taught hermeneutics, how to study the Bible. And they're like, oh, no, I don't want to preach in front of Pastor Waterloo. And I'm like, no, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not critiquing if you made the transitions correctly, if you interpreted the word correctly. I'm not, unless you just are blatant heretic. But I'm going to sit there and go, hey, I'm just going to enjoy the message. You say, why? It's the word of God. We want to learn and grow. Can I tell you? You can't have great faith if you're going to let pride and unteachability seep in. You should always come with this heart. Lord, teach me. I don't care who's teaching. Teach me. Grow me. Be careful of arrogant pride. And it's not always a forward thing like that guy. I've seen way more passive, prideful people than I've ever seen forward. I'm going to help you real quick. There's just a presence of arrogance about them. They're very quiet. And they're listening, but they're like, they're just kind of there. And every once in a while, they'll kind of make statements and so forth. And they're wanting to show you how smart they are and what they know. And I'm like, be careful of that. Why? You're stunting your growth. But wait a minute. You cannot please God. You cannot please God if you won't be humble. So I see in this story, and by the way, those are fun things. It's not even my main point. Now we get that. You've heard messages of read the word, be humble, amen. But wait a minute, it gets really good in the next verse. Oh, take a look at this. This is the fun part. This is the part I'm like, wow. And this is the part you know, because this is the part that Jesus stops. He didn't stop it. He built us a church. He's like, oh, what, great guy. Jesus doesn't say a word about that. It's not until this man says this in verse 8. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. I say unto one, go, he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, what things? That statement right there. He marveled at, wait, it got Jesus' attention. He marveled, he was amazed that a man in this culture, a Roman, would get the concept, a spiritual concept that's deep. He goes, what is it? It's deep. The guy said, hey, if I have a soldier coming and I'm in charge and I've got some important authority, whether a general or commander or whatever, and I tell my lieutenant, go tell this platoon over here to do this, and he goes and does it. Here's what he's saying. I don't have to show up and tell him. I don't have to look at the men. When I send my representative, they will do exactly what is done. Why? Because the message came from me. No, the message came from me. And he's looking, he's saying, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. Are you ready? Are you ready? Speak the word. No, wait a minute. That's never happened. No, when Jesus heals all the miracles, he's touching them. He's there. He's praying over them. Nobody had ever seen Jesus just speak the word and somewhere else somebody's healed and they come back going, it worked. Nobody. And yet this man here, as he's watching Jesus and understanding, are you ready? Authority. Got it. And he says, you being God, you being in charge, I know how this works. If you just speak it, it'll happen. And Jesus is like, here is somebody who actually gets it. And Jesus stopped and goes, wow, that is great faith. In other words, I don't have to see it to know it's going to happen. Why? Because Jesus said it. We live in a culture, we got to see it. We got to feel it. We got so many people. When I was teaching, I told our students, you ask any question you want. But asking a question and questioning is two different things. Two different things. You can say, well, I'm not really sure why we're just a King James Bible preacher. Can you explain it? You betcha. To, is there a real reason why we only use the King James Bible? There's two different tones, two different things there. One, like, okay, here we go. No, seriously, here we go. One is like, no, I got a question. I mean, I do it, and that's my passion, and I'm for it. I just don't understand it. But here's what the problem is. We're living in a culture that we want to always understand why. Why? That's great. I believe in teaching my kids why. I teach our kids why. No, seriously, I don't mind explaining why. We're getting ready to remodel, update. I'm going to spend a lot of time preparing the church on why we're doing it, what's happening, because I know people. I know people. And I'm going to do that because I know our culture. And I don't want you to take this wrong. So I want to be careful here, but do I really have to do that? Now I will, because it's just wisdom in our culture, and I know our culture, and I know church. But wouldn't they already think the pastor has the best intent of the church? And we've already had committees and all kinds of research done, and we're going to do all this. So do you really have to know every little why of how every dime's being spent and why? You see where I'm going here? Now don't take that farther it needs to go. I get there's crooked people out there. I get all that. But here's what I want to say. We've developed a culture that it's like, if we don't understand, if we don't get it, wait a second, I don't think I'm for it. And here's how that's transferred. It's transferred to the things of God. Well, wait a minute. I know what the Bible says about raising children, but does that really work today? Where's your faith? I know what God says about giving, but you know, can you really do that in this culture? Where's your faith? No, I don't understand what's happening. When the Bible says it, our attitude ought to be this. Hey, he said it. It's going to happen just the way he said. No. It will happen exactly the way he said. Why? Because I have faith in our God. And as the supreme authority when he speaks, I'll never forget, I grew up in San Diego, California, and used to play racquetball. My dad would take me to the base, military base, and I'll never forget one day we're on the base, and here comes this black car. There's two flags on the front of it. And literally everybody that's walking to wherever they're going stops and does this. Everybody. I didn't. I'm not a soldier. I didn't know what's going on. But I saw everybody, and I stopped and said, hey, Dad, who's that? He looks real quick and goes, well, I don't know, but it looks like that's probably the commander's car. And I go, is that the commander in it? He goes, I don't know. He goes, but it doesn't matter. I go, oh, okay. He says, son, here's how this works. See, that car represents the authority of this base. He said, if the commander's wife is driving the car, you're going to salute it. If any of the soldiers driving the car, moving it, you're going to salute it. If the commander's dog is driving the car, you're going to salute it. Why? Because you're not saluting so much the person, you're saluting the position and what it symbolizes. And that always stuck with me. Because in the church we had a lot of military. I was amazed at how many of them were sold out to God. How many of them even went into ministry? And I'm like, what is happening here? And when I found this passage years later, here's what happened. Military gets authority. No. They get authority. They're used to saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, whatever we're supposed to do. It's not my job to question. I'm just supposed to do it. Why? That's the training. That's the part. Right. That's the authority. I signed up. It's authority. I follow the authority. But we live in a culture that questions every single authority out there, which means, guess what? We question Almighty God. And I'm going to help you. You cannot get to great faith till you can come to the point of realizing He, Jesus Christ, God of the universe, is our authority. And I don't have to see what he's doing. I don't even have to know what he's doing. I just have to trust him and live for him by faith. And that is great faith. And that's what he's looking at to be pleased with. That's what gets God's attention. When people will operate saying, I don't even see how this is going to work. But I know we're going to pray and we're going to do it because God says to do it. And since he said, I'm going to do it. You say, well, preacher, we can do that. Time out. Here's your test. Are you ready? Please don't think that you can do that and obey a God you cannot see when you won't obey what he tells us to do right now in the area of authority. What do you mean? Let me help you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It is your primary command. If a young person cannot obey their parents, understand this. You are hurting them for the rest of their life. They won't obey bosses they don't like. They won't obey anybody else they don't like. And when they come into the house of God, they'll only listen as long as they agree, which means you will stunt their growth. I'm amazed as parents don't take the time to train their kids to listen. Because you're not just training them to listen to bring peace in your home, you're training them to learn about faith in an Almighty God, the supreme authority. And if they can't do that here, I'm going to help you. It doesn't miraculously happen here. Why? Because you just disobeyed God. And God said, hey, I told you, as children, obey your parents and the Lord. That's how you start working up the great faith. Saying, yeah, preacher, get them. I'm not done. There's that verse like, wives, submit to your husband. Can you say that in church nowadays? You want me to listen to my husband and follow him? Do you even know him? Hey, you chose him. I don't know what to tell you. You know how difficult he is? No, I don't. You know why? I'm not married to him. No. Oh, this is going to get real fun. You know, that's not even a message on marriage, but here we go. You're like, I don't think I can follow and listen to him. Well, wait a minute. Your kids are supposed to listen to you when they don't understand. And God tells you to follow your husband when you don't understand. And we're not talking about anything illegal or immoral. Can we just be honest? I mean, there's boundaries, of course. If it's illegal, okay, you heard the preacher. We're going to go rob a bank. Let's go. Don't be brain dead, okay? People take things to such a... That's not what the Bible says. You know, he's beating you up. You're like, I got to take it. The Bible said so. No, it doesn't say that. I mean, now we're getting... You see what I'm saying? But I'm talking about just practical living. I just don't like that, or I don't want to do that, you know, whatever. Don't want the truck. I'm just against it. You know, and it's like, we don't want to follow anyway. Be careful. You're damaging your Christian growth. The men are going, amen, preacher. You just can't say it right now. Amen. Way to go, preacher. Well, I'm not done. What about you guys? What do you mean, preacher? You go to work and don't like your boss? Which, that's not unusual. Because they're dummies? That's not unusual either. But you got to follow the rules and follow the guidelines and follow that. Because what? It's called authority. You got to learn to follow our government. Ooh, that's a fun one. Some of you are like right now going, well, it's easy right now. It's not always easy. Everything goes from Republican to Democratic to who knows what all the time. But you know what? We're trained biblically. I'm supposed to follow them. You think I like everything our government always does? I remember there was a time Christianity people didn't want to pay their taxes. I'm going to pay my taxes. I don't agree with it, so I'm not paying my taxes. I don't like where they spend their money. You think? How'd that go over? Not real well. I mean, the government goes and go, oh, okay, that's fine. They're like, how about we put a lien on your house? Don't you see what I'm saying is, we don't have to like it, but isn't there a rule to follow? Not illegal, not immoral. We're not crossing lines here. What I'm saying, when it comes to authority, we are challenged. If we're going to be honest, we're challenged. I know, wait a minute, don't miss this. Jesus stops and goes, wait a minute, this guy gets it. I don't even have to show up to his house. And he believes if I speak the word, the servant will be healed. And when they got back to the house, that servant is healed. That's all Jesus did. Jesus said, this is great faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please me. If you believe that I am, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, he's like, you'll be amazed at what God can do. You live in Gillette, Wyoming. I don't know if you're aware of this. It's not a metropolis. I'm not sure you're aware of that. What I've heard it, I got a lot of miners, I envision a lot of rough people, independent people. That's really good and really bad. You say, why? Because that's bad if you're independent from God. And you can love Jesus and be saved, but still have a mentality because of the culture you live in. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. And that sounds really good as American, but you can't back that up in the Word of God. But what I found is if I want to please my Heavenly Father, I've got to be growing in my faith. It begins with salvation. If you're here today, you never put your faith in Jesus, that's where it begins. The rest of our life, we're going to be growing. I got to keep a teachable spirit. I love it. We'll have people in their 90s coming forward to pray. Are you kidding me? I remember Don Howard, he turned 95 coming up Wednesday. A couple days, he'll be 95. Don will be coming down the aisle, and it's not fast. And we're going to have a long invitation when Don comes. Don's bowing here. You talk to him after, Don, what are you coming for? I just need to do more for God. I'm like, Don, you can't hardly walk. You know, not trying to be mean, but you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what are you doing coming at 95 saying, oh, I wish I could do more for God? I'm like, what a teachable spirit. What a heart for God. What a heart for God. And some of you, it's been a long time since you bowed to pray. And I'm telling you, man, you got to stay humble, stay teachable. There's no award, no honor for, well, man, I don't need this. No, God says, you want my blessings? You want the great rewards? You'll get in the Word. Grow. You'll stay teachable. And you'll learn to respect authority, not because you like authority, but because he said so. He said so. When you get to that point, you're doing even things you don't like. It's not wrong, not immoral. You don't like it, think there's a better way. And you're following. God says, I see that. And you please me. And I will bless you because of it. And when you get to great faith, who knows what God could do in Gillette, Wyoming. If even just a couple people had great faith. you won't get it overnight. You don't hear a message like this walk out, go, I got great faith. No, you don't. No, you're going to get it by this saying, where am I lacking? Where am I lacking? Do I need to get more in the Word? Lord, tonight, help me get more in the Word. If I've gotten a little bit just a little prideful, maybe even privately, a little unteachable, Lord, help me stay humble. And if I'm doing pretty good in those areas, maybe, Lord, how do I respond to authority? Especially spiritual authority. It's amazing to me, even if spiritual people who love you, trying to guide you in a good way, how much we buck that. Blows my mind all the time. Blows my mind. How often I give advice, it's totally ignored. I mean, and they came for it. Pastor, what should I do? Well, the Bible says do this and this. I'm like, and yet you want God to do great things in your life? It doesn't work that way. Great faith. You want it? No. You want it? You want it? You can have it even in Gillette. Because God's no respecter of persons or area. But this is the pattern. This is the process. If you want it, you may come tonight, bow where you're at, and say, oh God, help me on my journey to great faith. And you know what? I believe you will. Let's stand. Lord, we come to now, Lord. We thank you for your word. What a great truth. What a great book. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done and continue to do in our life. And Lord, I pray that you bless this great church, Lord. Use them in a great way. Lord, you said that you would reward and bless faith. Lord, it's the key that pleases you, Lord, more than anything else. Lord, we know that. So Lord, as we grow in our faith, begins with saving faith, we keep getting in the word and staying humble, and we continue, Lord, to respect authority. And we learn these principles, Lord. You see that. And Lord, when we're doing it for you, Lord, you bless. So Lord, may there be some here today, Lord, take up the challenge to one day be a person of great faith. Help them, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord has spoken to you.